The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Texas Mattress Makers in Katy. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, live here at Texas Mattress Makers, the new store in Katy. Come on out if you want to get in. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at John Snow with the zero in the snow part, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour, almost all Super Bowl, which you would expect. Although I don't know how much there is left to add to that.
I don't either.
At this point.
I feel like we've hit it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all available at podcastarena.com if you want to hear.
You know what we can hit? A bunch of old white dudes that finally got it right.
Yeah?
With the Hall of Fame vote.
Oh, yes. Yes.
My goodness. Remember when the finalist list came out and we gave our five? They took all five of my five. The five guys I said were the most deserving. And that's who they took. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have been happy with one or two. They went all five? I mean, that's wild.
It's almost as if they were listening to you, AJ.
That's wild. And I can now get off my soapbox because I have to do this for the Baseball Hall of Fame already for Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds.
Yeah. Like,
they're the two best players of my generation, of my lifetime, and neither one is in the Hall of Fame. And then I'm having to do like, oh, there's the two best wide receivers not named Jerry Rice who have ever played football. Can't get in the Hall of Fame. Well, the good news is the long national nightmare is over. I guess Randy Moss gets in on his first
year. Yeah, it was his first try.
But I just assumed the way they were holding out on T.O. and, you know, the guys we had talked to made it sound like they had no interest in either one of those guys. So yeah. I was glad to see them get in.
Yeah, so Ray Lewis, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, Brian Dawkins, and Brian Urlacher. And I think I think Lynch and Dawkins to me were, you know, both of those guys were. I think the more I looked at Lynch, the more deserving I thought he was. But I can't argue with any of those, and it's good to see him get the right guys. And I know they put a couple of veteran guys in, and Robert Brazil was one of those.
Yep.
Played for the Oilers, as was Jerry Kramer. Played for the Packers. So but this group, I think they got it right. I'm not. I'm usually fairly. I think we both have been pretty critical of them the last couple of years.
Because they've sucked the last couple of years.
Yeah. But the reality is you kind of knew at some point they had to put those guys in. It's just they punish them when they don't like them, I think, is what it is.
That's the problem with media picking the Hall of Fames is you've got to appease guys who, you know, you didn't spend your whole year kissing their ass or your whole career kissing their ass and they punish you. It's a frustrating thing.
Either that or you just need to have people voting who actually don't let that stuff bother them.
Right, who don't hold a grudge.
Now, Roger Clemens wasn't the most friendly guy in the world when he was here, but I'd vote for him in a heartbeat.
Right.
So, you know, even, you know, Barry Bonds, as much as he was allegedly such a jerk to everybody, and yeah, he kind of was, I don't care.
Yeah.
That guy was a great player. Why would you ever even think about that? So,
But I mean, when you think back to like last year is when it really hit me and it kind of made me sick. And really, you can go back to 2016 when they put in, and again, this is no knock to Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison's a fine player. He ain't T.O.
No.
And they put Marvin Harrison in before T.O. And then last year, they put in Terrell Davis and a kicker.
Yeah.
And left Terrell Owens on the sideline. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Dude played a guy played like 3 years and a kicker.
Yeah, see, I was okay with Davis because he was for that 2 year stretch, he was as brilliant a player as you could ask for, and they've done that with other guys like Gale Sayers. But over T.O., no.
Do you think that means they're going to put Calvin Johnson in?
See, I don't know. It's a different position, you know. And he didn't go out and win two Super Bowls like Davis did.
True.
Which is always a big part.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, somebody asked me about Calvin Johnson, and I was like, I just don't know. I mean, there was probably a good five-year span where Calvin Johnson was the best receiver in football, and it wasn't even debatable.
Yeah, I agree.
And but his resume is not very long.
No.
It's going to be hard. And you see this line of receivers to get in.
And you start looking at all the numbers that those guys put up that he didn't approach because he didn't play long enough. And he didn't win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that's one of the factors that they take into this. And it's almost if you're a quarterback and win a Super Bowl, you're going to get in.
Yeah.
Now, Nick Foles probably won't. But who knows? Yeah. He may go somewhere and have a great career. And somebody was asked who's going to get paid more in the offseason, Foles or Keenum. I think it's going to be Keenum because Foles is still under contract for
you. Foles will might get traded somewhere and get a new contract.
Yeah, he's set to make 7.5. The Eagles do have cap problems going into next year, so they may look at making a move. But if they're also not sure about Wentz starting the year, I think you make your cuts elsewhere.
Yeah.
And you bring him back, and then he'll get paid the year after that by somebody.
But I think if I'm the Eagles, I'm looking to trade him because you'll never get more value
for him. No.
And, I mean, if you could get a first or a second rounder for him, I mean, that's your backup quarterback. You can find another – I mean, granted, I think he's one of the best backup quarterbacks you can have, but – he's still a backup quarterback.
His value over the last month, I think, has tripled.
Easy.
From where he was at the end of the season,
oh,
where you're just
easy.
Like, oh, not so good, to, yeah. I mean, and he was fantastic in all three playoff games.
I still don't, you know, I still have reservations about, do I want Nick Foles to be the starting quarterback of my football team? I tend to lean no. Like, if I'm my franchise guy. But you know what you can't say? Everybody's looking for a quarterback who you can win the Super Bowl with, and Nick Foles, there's not much arguing it now, is there? Like, Foles can win a Super Bowl.
He had a very much Joe Flacco-like run throughout these playoffs, and I think if you tell me I could get that production out of him, now, this coaching staff has done a great job with him, let's start with that, then hell yes, I'd want that guy as my quarterback.
Yeah.
And really, he's been pretty effective except for when Jeff Fisher was coaching him.
Yep.
So maybe it is just a matter of –
and nobody's effective when Jeff Fisher's coaching
him.
Except Steve McNair. He was the only one.
Yeah.
He's the only one who overcame the curse.
Yeah, that was kind of like Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Brandon says, I think the Eagles lose if Wentz is healthy. Foles was clutch and brings experience. I'll take the opposite side of that. I don't think Carson Wentz would have gone out there and lost them the game.
I don't think so either.
I saw Carson Wentz a lot this year, and he looked great. I mean, you could have made an argument for him being the MVP of the league before he got hurt. So,
and
12 more games of experience for Nick Foles, I'd take the guy who's a better talent.
Yeah, and I I told you people would start that. Oh, you should trade Carson Wentz stuff.
Lamont retweeted about 15 people who apparently were saying just that.
I told you.
It's insanity to me that anybody would think that.
But. Do I not know the media?
Yeah.
That people will create these storylines? I mean, some of them I think are legitimate. I mean, whether or not, you know, what's next for the Patriots to me is a very legitimate question because I do think you peel off two coaches. And somebody had texted in earlier that Peterson basically beat the coaches of the Patriots, Colts, and Lions all in one game. But you take away both those coordinators, you obviously you're gonna lose a few guys. They always add people though, but that'll be a change. And we saw the offense wasn't as good when Josh McDaniels left the first time.
So. You know what though? I've heard, and obviously Patricia's already signed. He's the new Lions head coach.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard that. But there's more and more chatter that Josh McDaniels may change his mind.
Yeah, I've seen that. Now, I wonder, I thought two things. Well, first off, there were all the Belichick rumors that if that were going to be the case, and maybe Belichick does one more year and McDaniels wants the New England job. Although, would you really want a 42-year-old Tom Brady?
I don't think so. I mean, and I also don't want to be the coach that coaches the Patriots right after Bill Belichick.
Yeah, but... Or, despite the fact that he started throwing, there's more concern about Andrew Luck than we think, and that he knows more than we do about
yeah.
it. But I still think he's taking the job, and I think it'll be a good place for him, and I think he'll do a great job with Andrew Luck. And if not, he's got Brisket.
Yep.
And we know he can coach him too. So 409 says, remember when y'all laughed at Holly about the Eagles winning the Super Bowl?
I know.
And you would get her on for a segment if
Holly
they did.
Holly was right. We never said that. I think she said that.
Texter says, guess her and her A-cups get the last laugh.
They do.
Yeah.
They're bouncing all the way to the bank.
Yeah. Oh, boy. 713-780.
Holly's a bandwagon Eagles fan anyway.
No, she's yeah. not. She's yeah.
I'm pretty sure she was a
the first time I met her, she was wearing Eagles gear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was, what, 3 years ago? Yeah. So she's been on those guys for a while.
All right, if you say so. Well, congratulations to her. My buddy Don, he's a big
Well, Abel Rodriguez, who used to work with us, a big Eagle
yeah.
fan. I think Julie was, too. Julie Takahashi, wasn't she a big Eagle fan, too?
Yep. So. Lamont asked if Foles was from Austin, and he was. In fact, I did some of his high school football games at Westlake. I did the color commentary for him when I was in my phase of trying to make way more money than I should be calling high school football until they finally said, okay, that's too much, you're fired.
Yeah.
That was part of that run.
Did you see it back then that he was going
no.
to be a Super Bowl MVP?
No, I did not see that, but I did see that's a big boy. I mean, you could tell he had NFL size already. I mean, he was he looked like a giant out there on the field, and he could sling the ball. By the way, I don't know how true this is, and I don't know if there's any way to prove it, but there's guys running around in Philly wearing shirts that say Big Bleep Nick.
Oh, really?
And apparently the word is that Nick Foles is hung like a giant.
He's really?
He's got a massive penis, and now a Super Bowl champion to boot. I mean, this is a charmed life Nick Foles is living, if that's the case.
Well, if that is the case, he could seriously upgrade over his wife if he wants.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, unless she had if he was smart and got a prenup, he could do that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're cashing out, you're cashing out early on your 401k. You're always going to get that penalty. But if you get the prenup, there's no penalty. It's okay.
Guess I should have got a prenup.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN. If you wish to text the show, that'll be the way to get in. Do you see, we're up against a break here, so I'll do this when we come back. But some of the things heard on the police scanner in Philadelphia last night.
Oh, I'd love to go through this.
There's some pretty entertaining ones. We'll do that when we come back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. I feel like I'm drowning.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Shopping for electricity rates can be a painful experience, but Tri-Eagle Energy is making it easy for you. You'll pay the same rate no matter how much or little electricity you use. There's no hidden fees. TriEagleEnergy.com, promo code ESPN, PUCT number 10064.
A RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Texas Mattress Makers in Katy. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Texas Mattress Makers in Katy. And if you're looking for a place to come check out a mattress, come on out and do it. We got giveaways. We got baby Dwight Howard out here. We got Tasha out here. They'll take care of you. Come on by. And, I'm telling you, you're not going to get a better deal on a mattress than you will from Yuval and the gang out here. Hockley Dan says, out of all the players in football to sign a one-year contract to take a bet on themselves, is Alshon Jeffrey the best example and Pryor the worst? I think Alshon's gamble is definitely going to pay off for him.
Yeah.
And hey, I think Case Keenum's one-year gamble, although I think that's all he could get.
Yeah, Case Keenum took what he could get.
Yeah, I think that's going to pay off for him. But yeah, Pryor, that didn't go well. But, yeah, one of the most interesting things that I saw was the idea that the Vikings would be the favorite for Kirk Cousins. I mean, how much of an upgrade is that if he winds up
No, oh, I think it's massive.
Yeah, I think that gives him a lot of value as a potential Super Bowl team next year.
Fred, I'm getting trolled.
Yeah.
On Twitter
by
Indy Kalu and his people.
Oh, really? He has people.
Indy and I are in the championship fight for the Sports Talk Radio fight bracket.
Yes.
And he is beating me 60% to 40%. So I don't know if I should throw in the towel. Apparently there is 44 minutes left in the voting.
Okay.
Do you think the Blitzers can win this for me?
I think they can. I think they know what you're capable of. I think they know you can rally. You can pull an Andrew, like get your butt kicked for the first two rounds, and then just smoke the guy in the third.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm going to retweet the poll with hopes that the Blitzers come through for me. This is your time.
Yeah, that includes you guys.
This is your time, guys. Make this happen.
Yeah, yeah. This is
I don't need to hear this from Indy. The first thing I wake up to this morning is a tweet from Indy Kalu saying I'm inspired by my Eagles. I'm taking you down today. I don't need this.
No.
I don't know if Indy's ever even been in a fight. Indy went to Rice.
Yeah.
You know, that dude's too smart to be fighting with his hands.
I tell you what I had to do last night. I had to turn my phone off. I was getting so many texts from people during the game and tweets and everything else. It was just so distracting.
I sent you some nudes last night. Did they
get through? No, they obviously didn't. Sorry, I missed. No, I'm not sorry I missed that.
Sorry.
Oh, I did pull an AJ on Saturday, though. We went to.
What does that mean?
It means I went to Fogo and ate a bunch of meat.
Oh, yeah.
We hadn't done that in a long time, and wife just said, hey, I want to go and want to go to Fogo. I'm like, okay, cool. And had some really – I ate so much meat, though, that I didn't even eat yesterday.
Make yourself sick for a day.
I felt so fat. And then I went out for a run yesterday, and, I mean, I felt like I was waddling the whole time.
That's good. That's a good day then.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I had some good beer this weekend and enjoyed the game. And just nice and quiet at home. Did a little work, but did a lot of gambling this weekend and not for much. I put a lot of effort into not really getting anything out of it between the horses and made some hockey plays because our buddy Roger was in Vegas, so he's texting me for hockey plays. I'm like, damn it, I'm playing this one too. Playing this one too. And I find myself playing. I basically went, I think, 2-3 on hockey or 3-3. And the horses, I would get up like a couple hundred and then down a couple hundred. And I basically went up like $50 for the whole weekend for everything. And that and playing in-game on the football. It was just kind of a, you know, I feel like I wasted a lot of time to not win any money at all.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, so I think I averaged like 32 cents an hour, I think, would be my salary for the weekend.
Good for you.
Yeah, which I spend about significantly more than that in alcohol. Harley says, get these callers who don't know who my team off the line. I think the texters or texters and tweeters are what you're after. So 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You got any college basketball picks tonight?
Oklahoma minus two. I got it at two. I think it's up to 2.5 now. I'd probably still play at 2.5. Hosting West Virginia. Oklahoma coming off a loss. West Virginia smoked them in Morgantown, but that's a totally different obstacle there. Yeah. And Trae Young, I will assume Trae Young won't have as horrible of a night as he did at West Virginia. So coming off that Texas loss, I think Oklahoma's going to play pretty well tonight.
I've got some basketball questions I want to ask you, but maybe we'll save it for tomorrow because certainly won't do it this segment, but because I want to get to the police scanner stuff in Philadelphia since I teased it.
Okay.
And I actually want to pay off on the tease because I'd say about 30% of the time we forget to do it. Like,
yeah,
I'll say, oh, we're
going
to do this story.
You're right. Let's do it.
So these were the police scanner traffic in Philadelphia. The first one, we were at 16th and Market right now in the eye of the storm. They just flipped a car over here. If you can get a rapid response team over here, I'd greatly appreciate it. Someone lit a Christmas tree on fire. The prison wagon is just on the corner. Have them grab the fire extinguisher. Do you estimate who were injured at the Ritz-Carlton from jumping off the awning?
They like tore down that whole awning. Yeah. Like the whole awning came down super slow, so I don't think anybody died.
Yeah.
But it came down.
Several people climbing traffic lights on Vine. They did all that stuff to keep people from climbing traffic lights, and what happened? There are people climbing the gates at City Hall.
Oh, boy.
We have a couple hundred people up on the pole.
Anybody get shot?
I don't think so.
Just tased?
Yeah.
Nice.
We need a unit at Broad and Arch. A man jumped off a light pole and landed on his head. I'd let him die.
That's a juggalo move.
If he dies, he dies. They're breaking the light posts off. It's going to fall to the ground. They just threw a light pole through an AC Moore store window. There are 10 people on top of a bus on 16th and Market. Jeez. And they were awful in Minnesota, too, apparently. But I'll never get the, your team wins, let's destroy everything.
It's not for me, but it's not in... It's not just Philly who does it.
No, it's not.
It's basically every town that's really serious about sports, this happens. And
I don't know, does Boston do this when they win? I mean, they win all the time.
Yeah, I think Boston, it's kind of old hat for them now. They've won. I'm sure they did it a couple times. But now, I mean, Boston would there wouldn't be a city if they rioted every time they won a championship in that town. It's not exactly fair. New York, it doesn't happen because, I mean, let's face it, the Yankees win pretty regularly. Like, they're kind of spoiled. They don't care anymore. But most towns, like, when they finally get one, yeah, they get wild. And there's some places like Michigan State. Michigan State's in the finals. They win, they burn it down. They lose, they burn it down.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, you know, some places are like
that. There's a lot of Detroit in Michigan State, though.
Yeah.
That's why.
I think Philly would have burned win or lose last night.
I think you're right.
That's what was going to happen.
I think, but you know what? There was a team that won a championship here. Everybody was pretty well behaved. So
that's true. We're not a serious sports town.
No, we're not a serious sports town. There's no question. But, I mean, even when the Rockets won, people were relatively well behaved. And, man, those Comets parades.
Oh, they were wild.
Nobody got out of line
there. They were wild. The Dynamo, and they won. Oh, my God.
You remember that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. How many people do you think called in sick today, and why is the Super Bowl not on a Saturday? This comes up every year. I'll be honest. Our office this morning, there wasn't many people there.
No?
No. Jong and I and Brandon and Josh were our entire creative team meeting, which is usually like 8 or 9 people. So
why is everybody so lazy?
I don't know. I made it.
I mean, I slept till 9 o'clock, but I always do that. It's but the people who normally wake up early and go to work, they should be there.
Yeah, I went to bed right after the game, then I woke up at like 3 for some reason. So I actually posted everything for Sports Map at 3 in the morning. So I'm not sleeping real well right now. I need to. I don't know what it is. I mean, I think I'm just getting old.
Yeah,
I'm worried about dying soon because it could happen.
Oh, I think we should give some credit to Blitz Nation.
Yeah.
5 minutes ago, when I talked about this, I was losing 60% to 40%. There was 188 votes with 44 minutes left, so it was 8 minutes ago. Now there have been 308 votes, and I'm winning 64-36.
There you go.
So
that's the Blitzers are. The Blitzers are represented.
That's right.
The Blitzers rock, man.
That's right.
We have the best listeners in the city, period. I don't even think that's up for debate. So, I mean, it's basically estimated 14 million people called in sick.
Oh, boy. Is that why the Dow Jones is down 1,000 points?
Must be, yeah.
Did you notice that there's a Trump tweet, like an old Trump tweet for everything?
Really?
Like, you remember, like, I retweeted, and everybody got real mad at me. It was about Justin Verlander beating the Yankees, like, because he had he beat the Yankees, but he's not that great, or he can't beat the Yankees because he's not that great, and everybody thought he was talking about the Astros, Verlander, but it was just, like, an old-ass tweet from when he was in New York.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, Donald Trump tweeted, this was in 2015, if the Dow Jones ever falls more than 1,000 points in a single day, the sitting president should be loaded into a very big cannon and shot into the sun at tremendous speed. No excuses. I don't know why he tweeted that, but it's kind of come back to bite him in the ass here. And listen, the economy's done really well under Trump, to be honest. But when you can go back and find that tweet on a day that the Dow dropped 1,000 points, not a good look, Don. Not a good look. Mr. President. To be fair, he did say the Dow Jones, J-O-A-N-S, so he might be talking about something totally
different. That's not the same thing. That's
Yeah, it could be a totally different, you
know. It's like that cousin down the street.
Right, so maybe he's not talking about, like, stocks. He's talking about, like, someone named.
Yeah, he got punched. Like just like you virtually punched Indy Kalu in the face.
Like his Aunt Joan.
Could be something. That.
Like, yeah. You know, I'm not sure. All right, guys, going to tell you again about Pajamagram. There's a brand new technology. It's going to drive your lady crazy for Valentine's Day. It's called Micro Velvet. It's created by the PJ experts at Pajamagram. It's found only in the Tempting Touch PJs. These are the softest, the most luxurious pajamas that have ever been invented in the whole wide world. They are ridiculously, addictively soft. Go to pajamagram.com and get her the blissful comfort that you know she deserves because she puts up with you all year long. There's a higher level of soft, guys, softer than anything you can think of. They're relaxing to wear, irresistible to touch, and it's going to make her happy. And you know how Valentine's Day works, guys. If she's happy, you're happy, if you know what I mean. Valentine's gift has never felt this tempting. Plus, no need to gift wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging, which is great for me because I don't know how to wrap presents. I'm a grown man. Don't know how to wrap presents. Valentine's Day delivery guaranteed still. Visit pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs today. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you. That's pajamagram.com. I met someone out on the West
Coast. I gotta get back to Can't Let This Go. ESPN 97.5. Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow live from Texas Mattress Makers in Katy. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz live here at Texas Mattress Makers in Katy. Come on out if you're in the market. All new showroom out here. Very, very cool.
That Donald Trump treat was fake news.
Yes. We do want to report that John Snopes did, and that was a...
redacted.
Yes. So, take it back. Apologize.
I did say it was absurd that if that was real, but yeah.
Poor John. All right. I'll tell you what's not fake news. Lance Erline.
Occasionally.
Well.
Yeah.
I mean, I told you. You know, depends. It depends.
How'd you like seeing all your old cronies kicked off Radio Row?
That was hilarious. I mean, I saw the whole thing go down. I felt bad for it. You know, I'm still buddies with most of those guys over there, and I felt bad for him. But I mean, kind of like everyone else, I thought it was, you know, I mean, it's kind of entertaining, just kind of watching everything unfold through video and then hearing how it was going down. But you know, I felt bad for a lot of those guys who really wanted to be part of that stuff. But you know, I mean, not that bad.
I like that all their guys basically want to fight each other all the time off the air.
I know they want to fight one guy a lot.
I wish we had that, and maybe I'm that guy. Maybe I'm saying I wish we had that at our station. Maybe everybody at our station wishes they could punch me.
Not everybody. There's just a couple.
Just
of
a couple here and there.
Yeah, but no, trust me, you don't want. You really don't want that because when you have that, it can poison a whole station, and the whole station goes sideways quickly. Like, what? It will be, from a radio standpoint, it's going to be interesting to see how that station does over the next 2-3 months, because that's not a recipe for success when people don't like each other in one location.
No, I would say it's not. What'd you take away from the game last night, Lance? What'd you, like, you know, obviously the Eagles win, but what did you take away when you finished? What were you
well,
thinking?
I mean, when I finished, I just thought Doug Peterson just kicked the living piss out of Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick. And to be honest with you, that was one of the most brilliant play-calling efforts that I had ever seen. And it kind of solidifies what I've already known for a long time, which is you don't have to have this monster pedigree to be a good coach. You can come from Division III. You can come from a high school. That's where Doug Peterson came from. He was a high school football coach. A lot of coaches got. My dad got his coach in junior high and, you know, won a Super Bowl ring. So it doesn't really matter where you start. And a lot of times the most innovative offensive minds are coming from small colleges and high school programs initially, or at least some point as a play caller, because they have to they have to make do with the ingredients that they're given, so they have to become more creative. And, you know, it's not real – it's not that hard to call plays when you've got Alabama's talent or when you've got, you know, the top talent in the country in college. But try getting – you know, try making some – try getting points out of lesser talent. You got to find ways – to manipulate the game or to become a very good play caller to keep people off balance. And that's what Doug Peterson did, man. He just kept New England off balance. And I really thought Patricia and Bill Belichick with 2 weeks to prepare would be too much for Nick Foles. But frankly, the opposite was true. Doug Peterson went out there early on and said, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and we're not going to sit and worry about and be reactive to what you're going to do. We're going to make you react to us. And I just thought it was – you know, I just thought it was brilliant. From Jump Street, they were throwing the ball around and putting New England on their heels.
One of the things that we talked about a little bit earlier in the show is how they weren't afraid to gamble on fourth down and short and go for it and take chances. And I just hope the Texans coaching staff was watching that and not instead going for field goals on fourth and one, because you're just not going to beat the Patriots that way. Well, do you think that that's something that, you know, hopefully these guys have learned from?
Well, I think it's a combination. Not only do you have to pick and choose when you know, I don't think it's smart to always go for it. You got to read the situation. But as you mentioned, Fred, the Patriots is kind of a different deal. When you have a chance, I thought what Doug Peterson did at the end of that half, saying, "Yeah, we're going to go for it here." I mean, he basically was saying, "I know that no lead is going to be safe against the Patriots, and I know that 3 points in the end of the day could end up getting me beat." And I'm not going to get beat. But here's the difference. He had a winning play that he had stashed away in short yardage that he was able to access. And I remember watching USC Texas. You guys remember that two-point – they had a – not a two-point conversion. They had a touchdown on a throwback pass. Not a throwback, but it flowed one way to the right, and then they threw a touchdown to their tight end, who had kind of crept out and was wide open in the corner of the end zone. And so that was what I call a winner. That was a game-winning play. And they had already used it. And Tom Herman was asked about why they didn't go for two. And he said, well, we had kind of burned our play already that we would have used for that. And that's an example. I've never seen the Texans. I don't think the Texans – I didn't see it with Gary Kubiak. I haven't seen it with Bill O'Brien. I don't see one creative misdirection play that you say, this is our game-winning play that we're going to use in this situation. Now – most coaches have them stashed away, but I just haven't seen them yet.
Yeah, well, Lance Erlein, our guest, he's back in studio. Lance, I noticed your first mock draft is up on NFL.com, and you have Sam Darnold going number one overall to the Browns.
Yep, I think the Browns are going to ultimately make a decision when it's all said and done to look for a veteran quarterback, draft a quarterback, groom him for a year under a veteran, and then make a decision after then whether or not Sam Darnold's ready to go. You just at some point you got to get your quarterback. If you don't get him at one, he's not going to be there at four. Now maybe you like Josh Rosen, maybe you like Baker Mayfield, maybe you like Lamar Jackson, maybe you like Josh Allen. I don't know. You can take your shot there, but you know, from what I've watched on tape, I just think Darnold is clearly the number one prospect, and I don't think you screw around with it. So I will admit, some of the mock draft, obviously, you know, I slot guys based at least in some small part on how I see those guys. Now, as we move further along, I kind of get a feel for how league people feel about these players, but they're still figuring it out themselves, because a lot of the GMs haven't even had a chance to take a deep dive into these players because they're worried about free agency and, you know, the end of their own regular seasons.
What would it take? And do you think there's any possibility that the Browns would trade out of that pick? Like, you know, I see a team, well, a team like Buffalo, who's got two first-round picks, 21st and 22nd. They go back-to-back. Could they package that and a future draft pick to move up and convince the Browns to give up that number one pick?
Yeah, I think they might be able to, because they have a fourth pick. They have the Texans pick. So I think that's why, AJ, they might be willing to do it. Because at number four, you got a handful of really talented players. You got a guy who I think has a chance to be a generational guard in Quentin Nelson. You got a tremendously talented inside linebacker or outside linebacker, depending on the scheme you're running, in Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech. You have Saquon Barkley, who could be there. So you would be in position to draft somebody who I think would be a really, really talented player to stick into your core. And if you had two more firsts, yeah. I mean, I think that absolutely is something that they would consider since they have a fourth pick. If you were to give them both your first and then a future pick as well, especially if it were a first, I think you'd be foolish not to do that. Now, they're going to get killed if they do that and it's Sam Darnold and Darnold is the next Wentz and they passed on Darnold, Wentz, and Watson. They're going to look really, really bad. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you have so many picks already this year, and if you add two more, if you add an additional first and then a future pick that you know, who knows, could be a first, maybe a second. God, it's just, it's hard to pass up on that because what you're going to end up doing is building a really talented roster really, really quickly as long as you just don't completely screw this thing up. And I think John Dorsey's a lot less likely to screw it up than anyone else Cleveland's had.
Lance Zierlein is our guest. Lance, this quarterback offseason, not just the draft, but with some of the guys that are going to be available, you know, presumably Kirk Cousins now, and you know, what do you do with Nick Foles? I mean, what do you see happening with these guys?
I mean, you'd have to be crazy not to trade Nick Foles. I get that you want that as an insurance policy, but come on, if Nick Foles will bring you back, let's think of it this way. Now, Nick Foles, I'm not sitting here telling you that last night is what you're always going to get, because we've seen in the past it was a problem. But Adam Kaplan, who lives in Philadelphia, who's a buddy of mine, who's, you know, has watched him and studied him pretty closely, he said that he really developed some bad habits in Philadelphia that continued on in with the Rams, and he thinks they've been coached out of him now. So if that's the case, wouldn't you consider, and he's not a young guy, I think he's 29 right now, but wouldn't you consider giving up what what the Texans gave up for Matt Schaub, which is 2 seconds, if you're a team that you think, like, I'll tell you right now, I would hate to see Jacksonville go out and grab him. I think that would be a nightmare. I think Denver would be well served in considering, if they can't get Kirk Cousins, going after Nick Foles. I think that would be a smart move. So if I'm the Eagles, I would consider moving him, because I think the asking price starts at a second and may involve a second draft pick as well.
Also came out that Cousins' first choice might be Minnesota. Seems to me like that would be a really nice fit and an upgrade. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it'd be a really good fit with the receivers that are already there. He's kind of an accurate pinpoint quarterback. You got Thielen, who can get open, but doesn't, he's big and strong. It doesn't need a lot of room. Doesn't need a huge passing window to secure catches. Stephon Diggs can do a variety of things for you. I think it'd be a really good fit for Minnesota. I think that'd be, a good choice if they decided to go in that direction. Now, he's still got something to prove. I mean, at the end of the day, all he's doing is stacking up yards. He hadn't stacked up a lot of wins, but he stacked up some decent yardage, just okay touchdown numbers. But, I think he's a consistent operator, and I just think it's clear that Mike Zimmer's never really fully bought into Case Keenum, and I don't think you can take a look at Teddy Bridgewater or Sam Bradford and assume you're going to keep paying those guys.
Yeah, because health is such a concern with both of them. You don't know if Bridgewater's
Sam's gonna... been hurt forever. I mean, remember his senior year? He's been hurt in the pros at least twice that I can recall. He got hurt his last year of college. I just don't think he's trustworthy in terms of durability.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. You can hear him on the bench in the morning, 7 to 9, then hangs around for an extra 30 minutes with Raheel and John Granato. A very, very good show. If you haven't checked it out yet, you need to be on it. And, Lance, we appreciate the time, my friend, and we'll be talking to you soon.
My sports map article, I started a civil war. I might as well just try to detonate this bomb on your show, but let you deal with it. But I started an accidental Astro civil war that I was the main participant and combatant. But Eduardo Perez made a comment on Sirius Baseball or MLB Network or on Sirius Radio Network that – if he keeps playing like this, Jose Altuve is going to pass Jeff Bagwell as the greatest Astro of all time. First of all, I'm not sure I'd put Bagwell ahead of Biggio. And then secondly, does he really have to just keep, like, we know time is going to pass. And if Jose Altuve just plays average baseball, based on what he's already accomplished, doesn't he pass Jeff Bagwell just with the passage of time?
I think so. And Fred and I have both said on this show, Jose Altuve is already a better baseball player than Craig Biggio ever was. And I don't think – I mean, I know that's blaspheme and to some people around here, but
it is what it is.
he's just a better player, and you know, I never thought Craig Biggio was a Hall of Famer. I thought it was a travesty that he got in the Hall of Fame before Bagwell.
You're probably
a
Rangers fan. You're one of those Austin haters, Rangers
fans. No, I'm not. I could really care less about any team. I just thought that Bagwell was the better of the two players. Bagwell was the one who was like an MVP caliber player at some point. And that's what Jose Altuve is. Craig Biggio was never an MVP caliber player. And Jose Altuve has already won an MVP.
I would argue with you that from 90, I think 98, he got hurt in 2000, but I think it was 98, 99, and then forget 2000, look at 2001. I think he had a run in there where Craig Biggio was maybe up there with maybe the three or four best players in baseball. He was really, really good.
Highest he ever finished MVP voting was fourth.
No, I get it. But he also played in a steroid era and wasn't a big home run guy. You look at all the guys. You know what I mean? If you go look at the era, just tremendous home run totals. It's pretty hard for a guy like Craig Biggio, who did a lot of different things, scored a ton of runs, stole bases, was a consistent hitter, got on base a ton. But no, I get your point.
Lance, did he score more runs than Altuve? Did he steal more bases than Altuve?
No, I'm not saying – no, I think Altuve's passed him as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that point at all. I'm saying I think Craig Biggio is a legitimate Hall of Famer, and Altuve, to me – it's going to be hard to make a case for Biggio ahead of him. So, you know,
I think Craig Biggio was a really solid player who had a really long career.
Yeah, and that's enough sometimes, though.
Yeah, it is enough sometimes. But I just never thought Craig Biggio was, like, one of the best in baseball period of time. I just thought he was a really good player, really solid player for a long time.
Baseball has some Hall of Very Good types also, but it does require tremendous longevity. And, you know, you get the 3,000 hits, you're in.
Oh. Before we let you go, I know we're running a little bit late, but were you surprised that they let Randy Moss and T.O. in the Hall?
No, a little bit T.O., not Moss. A little bit T.O., but T.O. deserved to be there. I don't think any question. I think T.O. of the two was the more complete wide receiver. T.O. was a total package. He just was a total a-hole.
Yeah.
I mean, Moss was a tremendously explosive player. T.O. was incredibly gifted and extremely competitive. Moss would open a can of quit on you if things weren't going the way he liked sometimes.
Well, and Randy Moss was a one-route guy. It was a really good route.
Nine route.
He was a one-route guy.
Yep.
All right, Lance, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, we'll see you guys.
All right, I got to tell you guys about Robin, who was managing a place that has really good chicken sandwiches that our rugby-playing friend has really enjoyed going to. He's a manager there. And now he's 7 months into his IT career. If you hate what you do, it's not too late. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take a free career evaluation today. You can start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. You attend classes on campus or live online just two nights a week, and you're going to get everything you need to start your new career. Daytime classes are available as well if that's what suits your schedule better. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon. Go take the career evaluation now, mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science, guys. It's My Computer Career, mycomputercareer.edu.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Texas Mattress Makers in Katy. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. If you haven't checked out Sports Map today, please do. A.J.'s college basketball report's on there. There's a couple of Super Bowl stories, including one that I did. You got some Rockets. Rockets all over the place from Joel Blank. So go check that out. Sportsmap.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at SportsmapHOU. All right, let's zip through the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. A man in Maryland went hunting, which, you know, a lot of people hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And he was goose hunting. And he shot the goose. The goose did what geese do when you shoot them. It fell out of the sky.
Okay.
And when it fell out of the sky, it landed on the hunter's head. The falling bird knocked him unconscious.
Oh, no.
51-year-old Robert Mielhammer.
Oh.
Had been out hunting geese with three friends near the Miles River in Easton, Maryland at around 5 p.m. when someone in the group shot and killed the bird. He was seriously injured in the incident. Officials reported he was in stable condition and recovering in a shock trauma unit. These birds weigh anywhere from 10 to probably 14 pounds. That means getting struck by one falling out of the sky can mean severe.
That's no joke, yeah.
I mean, those things are mean anyway, right? I imagine, and they're pretty big. So, yeah, basically, if you dropped a 14-pound weight on somebody's head from the sky, this is what would happen. So, apparently the goose also knocked out two of his teeth.
Oh, boy.
So, a pretty good fail there.
Well, that's was the goose alive or did it hit, was it dead?
Well, it was dead. He'd been shot. Well, I mean, I assume he was
sometimes
dead.
Sometimes they don't die on impact. I mean, maybe he was like, if I'm going, like, I know I'm dying here.
I'm taking this guy out.
I'm taking this guy with me.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
I'd be okay with that.
I would, too. The goose fought back.
I'm team goose in this.
Yeah. I'm team whoever wins. I'm a front runner.
Well, I mean, was there a winner in this battle? I guess the old man's alive, so he won, but it was a hard-fought battle.
Yeah, well, he's still alive. He may not be.
Well, okay. Well, then, so this battle is still going on, technically.
Yeah, and I don't know how to translate this into goose, but if he dies, he dies. That's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
All right, guys, if you mess up Valentine's Day, then you're a lot like me. I constantly mess up Valentine's Day. I can't tell you how many times I either forget about it or I get a bad gift, and I'm in the doghouse for months. Well, guess what? Sherry's Berries and Pro Flowers have teamed up to help you really impress your Valentine this year with their perfectly paired collection. You can go ahead and think inside the box this Valentine's Day. This really is a one-of-a-kind gift. Your dipped strawberries and flowers will arrive together in a beautiful, specially designed box that will keep your berries cold and your flowers fresh, guaranteed. And right now, the Blitzers can save 20% on any one of their perfectly paired combinations or any other gift over $29 with our promo code FREDANDAJ. That's A-N-D spelled out with spaces between Fred and AJ.
Yeah, I never mess up Valentine's Day because if I forget to get a gift, I always just remind my wife how ruggedly handsome I am and everything works out. But not all of you have my luck, so this could be a great gift. You pick the delivery date, it's guaranteed. Customer satisfaction is a priority. You get your money back if you're not happy. Hurry and order today. Valentine's Day is coming up next week. There's only one way to get 20% off a perfectly paired gift over $29, featuring the freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries and beautiful blooms from ProFlowers. Visit berries.com, berries.com today. Enter our code Fred and AJ at checkout. That's berries.com, promo code Fred and AJ.
First down to the first bite. ESPN 97.5 and Saltgrass Steakhouse present the official ESPN Houston app.
Now this is top notch.
Download today.